Pakistan's Hazara community refuses to bury coal miners killed by terrorists, demanding the killers be brought to justice. Iran's nuclear chief says the country is capable of producing up to 9 kilos of 20% enriched uranium within a month. Germany registered 944 more coronavirus deaths and 12,000 new infections in one day. Greetings and a warm welcome to World News. Good to have you with us. Now, starting with the developments in Pakistan, members of the Shi'i Hazara community in Balochistan province say that they will continue with the rallies until the killers of coal miners are brought to justice. Protesters have blockaded a highway in the provincial capital of Quetta with the coffins of slain miners. They say they won't withdraw until Prime Minister Imran Khan meets them. Hazara families and protesters are also refusing to bury the victims until their demands, including the resignation of the provincial government, are met. Some protests are also held in the southern port city of Karachi in solidarity with the Hazara community. On Sunday, Daesh terrorists slit the throats of 11 miners in a residential compound near a coal mine. Hundreds of Hazaras have been killed over the past decade in gun and bomb attacks in Pakistan. Political analyst Mohammad Narandi says Iran is reminding the United States and European signatories to the nuclear deal that it will no longer tolerate their behavior as regards the agreement.
It's a reminder to the United States and the Europeans that Iran will no longer tolerate their behavior with regards to the JCPOA or the nuclear deal. The Europeans and Americans have violated all of their commitments in accordance with the nuclear deal. Of course, under Obama, the United States violated the deal, and under Trump, the United States tore the deal apart altogether. But the Europeans, during this period when Trump exited the agreement under pressure from Trump, they violated all of their commitments. And the Iranians, as you know, waited for a full year. They continued to abide by all of their commitments while the Europeans and the Americans did not. And then after waiting a full year, in five phases, the Iranians reduced their commitments. And even after those five phases, Iran continued to abide by a large segment of their commitments, including monitoring and certain other issues such as enrichment beyond a certain point. But now the Iranians have said enough is enough.
The Iranian army has launched a large-scale drill involving different types of domestically produced drones. The area of the exercises stretches all the way from the northeastern Semnan province to eastern borders. The ground force, the air defense force, the navy and the air force are taking part. During the two-day drill, the Iranian army is flying hundreds of drones for combat, reconnaissance, and suicide missions, as well as electronic warfare. New unmanned aerial vehicles and related systems are also unveiled and put to test. The chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff saying that such drills indicate Iran's military combat readiness.
The drone drills of the Islamic Republic of Iran's army, as well as the exercises conducted recently in the Persian Gulf and maneuvers planned for the coming days, all indicate that the Iranian armed forces are fully ready to counter any threats posed against the country's security.
Major General Bagheri says that Iran does not intend to invade its neighbors. He, however, warned that fingers are on triggers to respond to any possible enemy action. Stay tuned. Time now for the news review section. Iran's nuclear chief says that his country is capable of producing up to 9 kilos of 20% enriched uranium within a month.
In technical terms, we managed to launch the 20% enrichment in 24 hours. We can produce 17 to 20 grams of the 20% enriched uranium in an hour. This level of production has now been achieved. It means a production capacity of 8 to 9 kilograms a month, so that we can produce the 120 kilogram required by the law.
Ali Akbar Salehi made the announcement a day after Iran produced the first batch of 20% enriched uranium at Fordo facility. Salehi said that the move is in line with legislation Parliament recently passed in response to U.S. sanctions. He said other requirements of the law, including the installation of more advanced centrifuges, will also be fulfilled. Tehran says the decision to resume 20% enrichment is a remedial action following non-compliance by other signatories to the 2015 nuclear deal. Iran says it will reverse the steps after they meet their commitments. Time now to discuss this and get some insight. So joining me will be Rodney Shakespeare, co-founder of the Global Justice Movement in London, and Elijah McNear, journalist and political analyst in Brussels. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Let's go to London. Professor Shakespeare, I just told you about what Iran is intending to do, and of course, you know, there has been this ultimatum, two-month ultimatum by the Iranian parliament and the ratification there. So what's best now for the other side of the JCPOA to do?
It's very, very simple. As a result of the sanctions and of the failure to trade in a normal way, in the first place, hundreds, if not thousands, of Iranians would have been ill or even died. I would remind you that 500,000 Iraqi children died as a result of sanctions in the 1990s. Secondly, billions of dollars of economic damage has been done by the failure, by the sanctions and the failure to trade normally. So the answer to your question is simple. All that has to happen is that the compensation is paid for those deaths, the compensation is paid for the economic damage, and then you do a few other things like paying back money which you owe UK or South Korea. And when you've done that, you ask whether Iran wishes to talk. But you don't attempt to impose any sanctions when you, America and Europe, you are the monsters that broke this agreement. You are the ones that have inflicted massive damage. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And perhaps you might like to start, before you even pay compensation, by making an apology.
Okay. Now turning to Brussels, Elijah, watching the different developments surrounding the JCPOA or the Iran nuclear deal, you know, as per the deal, Iran has started scaling back. At the same time, it has stressed time and again that this is reversible. So, and that means, provided the European side of the deal, they go back and act within the deal and make good on their promises, Iran can fully go back to the full compliance. So what do you predict will happen?
I think what Iran is doing is a series of pressure on the new U.S. administration led by President-elect Joe Biden, and it is sending a real hit on the head of President Donald Trump by when the Iranian parliament issue a law decreeing that there has to be an increase to 20% of purity exactly at the Fordo nuclear facility. That is a direct hit to Donald Trump to say your sanctions and your maximum pressure, you can stuff it and it's not working. And also to the European, saying if you are afraid of Iran reaching the level required for a nuclear bomb, although Iran is saying that my program is not a military program, then you just need to abide by the deal that was signed, the GCPOA, that is known as a nuclear deal, in 2016 with President Obama and the five members of the, five permanent members of the UN plus Germany. So Iran waited since 2018 until now to take slowly steps that go by incrementing pressure on the, particularly the European community, because it is very clear that Trump and Netanyahu, and here I say the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, because he is the conciliary, he is the advisor of Donald Trump on anything that is related to Iran and how to hit Iran and the allies. So Iran is saying to Netanyahu and to President Trump, we already know your stand, you're leaving in 2 weeks' time, all your pressure was useless, you came up with nothing, you're still waiting by the phone, we're not going to call you, and now we continue our nuclear program. We go back to where we were in 2015, and we are going to increase to reach a purity of 500 kilogram as dictated by the parliament and forced upon the government.
Right. Now, Professor Shakespeare, how do you see the future unfolding regarding the JCPOA? Europeans are still giving it lip service and stressing that we must maintain it in any way. But the funny thing is, it's their side of the story. I mean, they are the ones to take action. Iran has been transparent, even the scale back and everything else. And even this enrichment, 20% enrichment, Iran has notified the IAEA about this.
Iran has been completely transparent, completely honorable. But the problem is, as your other guest has indicated, the problem is American policy is controlled by Zionism. It's controlled also by its desire to suppress all democratic movements. That's to say, it supports and is in cahoots with Saudi Arabia. America supports genocide in Yemen and what is a form of creeping genocide in Palestine. The whole thing is sickening. It is time that the Europeans showed a bit of guts and remembered that the European economy is now as big as the American economy. All this American is in control of everything. No, the Europeans should stand up, show some guts, and if necessary, to cooperate with others in this world against this monstrosity, which is American policy. I would just remind you of one thing. It's all you need to know. Look at the way Trump walks, like a swaggering mafia murderer, and the same with Pompeo. And let nobody think that American policy is going to change under Biden. Biden is as much a Zionist as Trump and Pompeo.
Yeah, I'm going to put the same question to Elijah. Elijah, what's Biden going to do? Expect him to do anything? Or is this the JCPOA flogging a dead horse? Some analysts discuss that way.
Personally, I think Biden is going to move fast because Iran is telling Biden that we have waited until you come to power without reacting to the aggressivity of Donald Trump. And if you're not going to move fast, the parliament already agreed a series of steps that is going to implement. It's not going to be limited to 120 kilogram with 20% purity at Fordo nuclear facility every year, but it's going to move also to increase the activity of uranium enriched to move to different centrifuge machine at Natanz and go further. Therefore, Biden needs to address this issue, even if he has other priorities like China, Russia, like restoring the relationship with the allies, particularly in Europe. But I think the nuclear dossier, as Biden promised, even if he is under pressure to benefit from the already established Trump sanctions, has no choice but to see the power of Iran, the nuclear power of Iran, increasing or move very fast and say to Iran, I go back to the 2015 agreement if you go back to where we were in 2015. But wait a minute. In 2015, President Obama did not fulfill all the agreement. He started to do that slowly although he did not clear the European bank to deal with Iran. So I don't think Iran is going to be very flexible with Biden this time, and is going to move faster than Biden.
Okay, I appreciate your comments and contribution. We had Rodney Shakespeare, co-founder of the Global Justice Movement from London, and Elijah Magnier, journalist and political analyst from Brussels. And that's it for this edition of the News Review. Welcome back. Let's go on with the rest of this broadcast. The Iraqi President Barham Saleh has called for fresh political efforts to rebuild Iraq as an independent and sovereign nation. He hailed the parliament's decision to demand the withdrawal of U.S. forces from his country. Saleh said that Iraq won't be safe without establishing full control over its territories and natural resources. He made those comments in an event marking the first anniversary of the U.S. assassination of Iranian General Soleimani and Iraqi Commander al-Mohandes. The Iraqi president said that the two men dedicated their lives to fight terrorism. Israeli forces have shot dead a Palestinian man southwest of the occupied West Bank city of Bethlehem. The Palestinian Health Ministry has confirmed the death but did not give details about the victim. The Israeli military claims that a man was hit after he tried to carry out a stabbing attack. The regime forces regularly open fatal fire on the Palestinians, citing similar pretexts. Human rights groups have repeatedly slammed Israel for its shoot-to-kill policy, saying that a large number of Palestinians who were killed had not posed any serious threat to Israeli soldiers. The number of confirmed coronavirus infections in Germany has increased by nearly 12,000. The country is considering extending the hard lockdowns, according to Robert Koch Institute. 1.8 million cases have been detected in Germany since the beginning of the outbreak. The related deaths also rose by 944 to over 35,000. Germany has been under tight coronavirus restrictions since mid-December. It's now weighing an extension to the lockdown measures until the end of January. Now, elsewhere in Europe, on Tuesday, Russia reported more than 24,000 new cases, taken its tally to 3.3 million. Officials said that 518 people died of the disease in one day, and that pushes the death toll there to 60,000. Iran has reported less than 100 COVID-19 fatalities for the first time in months. Health Ministry spokeswoman says that the daily deaths rose by 98 in the past 24 hours. And that brings to 55,800 the total fatalities so far. Last time Iran reported less than 100 COVID deaths was June the 13th. The health ministry is saying that the number of daily infections increased by more than 6,000 to over 1.2 million. It also confirmed the first highly contagious virus variant case on a passenger coming from the UK. The new strain first emerged in Britain and detected in many other countries, including Turkey, France, and Canada. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc. You wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
Dear listeners, we're with you with another episode of this series. This time, we're going to discuss the late Imam Khomeini's outstanding characteristic, namely, his refrain and dislike from being introduced as a source of emulation or majah taqlid by ulama and religious scholars and his students. Please stay with us. The late Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, in spite of having high qualities of a great clergyman and his scientific and ethical characteristics, seriously refrained and disliked from being introduced as a source of emulation. There are two ayahs in the Holy Quran which point to the status of ulama or religious scholars in Islam. Ayah 7 of Surah Anbiya in the Holy Quran says that if people do not know their duties in various religious matters, they should ask the people of the reminder. Here, the reminder means the noble Quran. In other words, when we face problems and we do not know what our duty is, we have to ask those who are experts in religion. These experts are, first of all, the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and his infallible successors, and then those who have been taught in their school, the ulama or religious scholars. Also, in Ayah 122 of Surah Tawbah in the Holy Quran, the Almighty says that a group from each of the sections among people should go and study religion and warn other people when they come back to their cities and regions. Even during the time of the Holy Prophet, some of his companions will be sent to the Prophet to other regions to propagate Islam and invite people to Islam. Referring to the learned ulama or religious scholars became much more important after the occultation of Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance. This is because people have no access to the infallible Imam to ask their questions from him. As a matter of fact, the 12th infallible Imam himself, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, has said in a famous hadith that during the period of major occultation, the faithful should refer to the pious jurisprudents as his representatives. During the period of major occultation, the pious and qualified jurisprudents have taken over the duty of answering religious questions of the faithful. Here it should be said that there are obligatory and forbidden deeds in Islam which have been ordained by God to guide mankind to salvation. They are simply called Islamic rules. However, not every Muslim is able to deduce them from the Holy Quran and the Hadith. Therefore, it requires years of diligent study to learn different branches of Islamic sciences, to reach the degree of ijtihad and become a mujtahid, or a jurisprudent. A mujtahid is a jurisprudent who is able to deduce Islamic rules from the principles of Islam in accordance with the requirements of time. Nevertheless, among those who have become mujtahid or jurisprudents, there are few who can be considered as sources of emulation, due to the very strict features of that a source of emulation should have, and the heavy responsibility that goes with this great status. Referring to and obeying a source of emulation is like going to a physician or doctor when one is sick. A source of emulation is a person who specializes in Islam, hence ordinary people should refer to him. Throughout the history of Islam, the great ulama or religious scholars have often refused to accept the grave responsibility of becoming a source of emulation. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, was among such ulama, despite being completely qualified for the position. After the passing away of the world-renowned source of emulation, Grand Ayatollah Muhammad Hossein Burujerdi, according to custom among some seminaries, some of the high-ranking great religious scholars or ulama published their risalas, or manual for guidance of the emulators. But Imam Khomeini refused to do this. Late Hujjatul Islam, Ali Davwani says, after the demise of Grand Ayatollah Burujerdi in 1961, and even before that, a number of the sources of emulation immediately had their risalas published. As usual, people started going to their houses, but it was only Imam Khomeini who neither published his risala nor made any changes in his lifestyle. Sometimes he was told to do the same, but he paid no attention and continued his ordinary life. Dear listeners, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, would be very upset if any of his students or friends made any suggestion or introduced him as a source of emulation. Hujjatul Islam Ali Ansari says in this regard, Imam Khomeini would say, I am not satisfied with taking the smallest step in my house for making me a marja or a source of emulation. Some of my friends have said that in 1962 and 1963, in many cities and countries, especially in Pakistan, they had been asked for the Imam's risala. No matter how much we tried to draw the Imam's satisfaction for the purpose, he didn't let, saying, God knows that I have not taken a single step for reaching the position to become a source of emulation. Dear friends, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, used to say to those who insisted on introducing him as a source of emulation that there are others who take over the responsibility and would just continue to handle his classes. Ayatollah Sayyid Hassan Tahiri Khorramabadi recounts on this. He says, after the demise of Grand Ayatollah Burujerdi, the Imam would often be told to take a step and introduce himself through publishing his risala, but he would say, let me handle my courses. If someday Muslims needed me, I am ready, but at the moment there are others, so leave me out. During the struggles against the Pahlavi regime, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, in response to one of the ulama or religious scholars of Tehran, who had asked him not to issue political statements if he wanted to become a source of emulation, the Imam had said that he was not willing to become a source of emulation. Hujjatul Islam Murtaza Tehrani says, in the advent of the struggles that numerous statements will be issued by Imam Khomeini, one of the ulama or religious scholars of Tehran gave me a message to give to the Imam, asking him not to issue so many statements, as he was considered as a source of emulation. When I gave the message to the Imam, he said, give my regards to him and tell him that I don't want to become a source of emulation. I want to fulfill my duties.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. This is A to Z, coming to you from IRIB English Radio, and I'm your host, Ali. This radio show is about Islamic lifestyle, and in each episode, we will be talking about a different lesson. Please stay with us till the end of today's program. Today's lesson, the heart and the intellect. Although the heart is not the same as the intellect, it is nevertheless where the intellect would ideally reside and govern over our emotions and passions. Then it will be the place for faith, al-iman, mercy, rahmah, and certainty, yaqeen. The reason of this intimate relationship between heart and intellect is the authenticity and directness of heart knowledge compared to mind knowledge. It is dhawq, the taste, or intellectual intuition what is sought for. Other words of heart except for qalb used in Quran are sadr or sudur, the chest, heart, where shaitan tries to gain access. It's been used 25 times in the Quran. Then we have fuad or af'idah, the heart engrossed or inflamed in emotion. Happiness, sadness, lust, frustration, anger, or regret, right? It has been used 16 times in the Quran. Then there's another term that's interchangeably used for heart, and it's called lub, or the plural is albab, the innermost place where the light of tawheed resides. Always used together with the folk of albab, the people of understanding or intellect. And this albab or lub, it has been used 16 times in Quran. So these are some of the words which are sometimes interpreted as interchangeable synonyms of the word heart. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the heart and the intellect, and we describe for you the relationship between the two, and also some interchangeable terms that are used in Quran and prophetic traditions when it comes to heart. Well, first of all, it is absolutely necessary to despise and avoid all sins and to follow the law. sins are committed and God is forgotten through satanic inspirations, which is also known as waswas, by following the nafs, the ego, that egoistic presence that we have within ourselves, the passions, and because of the love of this world, this worldly life, the dunya, right? So this is absolutely necessary for the cleanliness of heart, the cleanliness of mind, and the cleanliness of soul. Now, this purity is something that is desired in Islam. Instead, it is far better for the servant, the devotee, the abd, to love Allah and His Messenger and tread the straight path, sirat, while being on his guard, and this guard is known as wara. Allah created the qalb as pure. He created it untainted. But every sin, minor or greater, will create a spot or rust on it, until when more and more rust settles on this spiritual and physical organ, it will become impure and dim, unable to perceive the divine light. And this is how the heart becomes corrupt. This is how the heart becomes unclean and impure. So let's pray to Allah to keep our heart and our intentions clean and pure. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
President Donald Trump pressured Georgia's Republican Secretary Brad Raffensperger to find him enough votes to overturn the presidential election and vaguely threatened him with a criminal offense. During an hour-long telephone call on Saturday, 2nd of January, according to an audio recording of the conversation. President Donald Trump, who has spent almost 9 weeks making false conspiracy claims about his loss to President-elect Joseph R. Biden Jr., told Brad Raffensperger, Georgia's top elections official, that he should recalculate the vote count so that Trump rather than Biden would end up winning the state's 16 electoral votes. The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times journalists Michael D. Shear and Stephanie Soule. The piece is titled, Trump, in taped call, pressured Georgia official to find votes to overturn election. Stay with us for more of Michael Shear and Stephanie Soule's article. President Donald Trump pressured Georgia's Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, to find him enough votes to overturn the presidential election and vaguely threatened him with a criminal offense during an hour-long telephone conversation on Saturday, 2nd of January, according to an audio recording of the conversation. President Donald Trump, who has spent almost 9 weeks making false conspiracy claims about his loss to President-elect Joseph R. Biden, told Brad Raffensperger, Georgia's top elections official, that he should recalculate the vote count so that Trump rather than Biden would end up winning the state's 16 electoral votes. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, Mr. Trump said during the conversation, according to a recording first obtained by the Washington Post, which published it online on Sunday. The New York Times also acquired a recording of Donald Trump's call to Brad Raffensperger. The president, who will be in charge of the Justice Department for the 17 days left in his administration, hinted that Mr. Raffensperger and Ryan Germany, the chief lawyer for Secretary of State's office, could be prosecuted criminally if they did not do his bidding. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it, the president said during the phone call. You know that's a criminal offense, and you know you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan, your lawyer. That's a big risk. The effort to cajole and bully elected officials in his own party, which some legal experts said could be prosecuted under Georgia law, was a remarkable act by a defeated president to crash through legal and ethical boundaries as he seeks to remain in power. By any standard measure, the election has been over. It has long been over. Every state in the country has certified its vote, and a legal campaign by Donald Trump to challenge the results has been met almost uniformly with quick dismissals by judges across the country, including the Supreme Court with a conservative majority. By trying to bend Mr. Raffensperger to his will, Donald Trump was asserting the power of his office in the ways that recalled his 2019 phone call to Ukrainian president, during which Donald Trump pressured President Volodymyr Zelensky to begin a bogus investigation into Hunter Biden by withholding vital military aid to the country. That call was the centerpiece of the scheme for which Donald Trump became the third American president to be impeached for committing high crimes and misdemeanors. As he did when he urged Mr. Zelensky to do us a favor, Donald Trump on Saturday pleaded with Brad Raffensperger to help him politically. The results of the 2020 race are expected to be certified by Congress during a session this Wednesday, despite efforts by some of Mr. Trump's allies in the House of Representatives and the Senate, who have said they will challenge the results in several states, including in Georgia. Donald Trump said he hoped that Brad Raffensperger's office could address his claimed discrepancies before Tuesday's Senate runoff election in Georgia, one that will decide the balance of power in the state, in the Senate. The president is slated to campaign on Monday night in Georgia for the two Republican incumbents, Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. "I think we should come to a resolution of this before the election," Donald Trump said. "Otherwise," he said, "you're going to have people just not voting." "They don't want to vote," he said. "They hate the state, they hate the governor, and they hate the Secretary of State," Trump added. "The people of Georgia are angry, the people of the country are angry, and there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated." Georgia's Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger politely but firmly rejected the president's entreaties, standing by the election results in his state and repeatedly insisting that Donald Trump and his allies had been given false information about voter fraud. "Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is that the data you have is wrong," he said. Legal experts said Donald Trump might have violated Georgia state laws against solicitation of voter fraud and extortion by seeking to exert pressure on Brad Raffensperger. One state law makes it a felony to solicit, request, command, importune, or otherwise attempt to cause another person to engage in election fraud. By urging election officials to find votes that were not legally cast for him, Donald Trump could be prosecuted under that law, according to Ryan C. Locke, a criminal defense lawyer and former public defender in Atlanta, Georgia. "He's telling the Secretary of State to find votes so that I can win, votes that are not due to me," Mr. Locke said. "The recording alone is certainly enough to launch an investigation. It's likely probable cause to issue an indictment." He said Donald Trump could also be in violation of laws prohibiting extortion, but he and other legal experts said it was unlikely that prosecutors would pursue a case against Donald Trump in the waning days of his administration. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, at a drive-in rally in Georgia's Democratic Senate candidates in Garden City, Georgia, referred on Sunday to Donald Trump's call, saying it was the voice of desperation. "Most certainly that. And it was a bold, bold-faced, bold abuse of power by the President of the United States," Kamala Harris said. Senator Richard Durbin, a Democrat of Illinois and one of the leaders in the Senate, said the call was more than a pathetic, rambling, delusional rant, calling the president unhinged and dangerous, and saying that Mr. Trump's Republican allies are putting the orderly and peaceful transition of power in our nation at risk. Former Speaker Paul Ryan, a Republican who has largely stayed silent in recent weeks, urged his former colleagues on Sunday to abandon their challenge to the results, calling it the most anti-democratic and anti-conservative act he could think of. The Trump campaign had ample opportunity to challenge election results, and those efforts failed because of a lack of evidence, Paul D. Ryan, the former speaker, said. "If states wish to reform their processes for future elections, that is their prerogative. But Joe Biden's victory is entirely legitimate," Paul Ryan said. Meanwhile, the 10 living former secretaries of defense from both parties echoed that sentiment in an opinion article on Sunday written in the published by the Washington Post. The 10 former secretaries of defense said the military should not be used in any way to alter the outcome of the election, saying governors have certified the results and the Electoral College has voted. The time for questioning the results has passed. The call from the White House to Brad Raffensperger's office came on Saturday, 2nd of January 2021, after at 2:41, hours after 18 other calls by the White House switchboard to the office during the past 2 months, according to a person familiar with the conversation. Saturday's call was the first that Brad Raffensperger had talked with Donald Trump directly, despite the president's repeated tweets disparaging him.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Martyr Soleimani is a champion of the Iranian nation and of the Islamic Ummah. This is the part of a speech delivered on December 16, 2020, by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the officials of Shahid Soleimani commemoration anniversary and with the family members of that great martyr.
Secondly, you should not trust the enemy. This is my definitive word of advice. You should not trust the enemy. You should not trust this and that's promises with the purpose of smoothing the path of resolving the people's problems and of building the future of the country. This is addressed to the officials. Such promises are not made by good people. They are made by bad and malicious people, and not even one out of 100 promises made by such individuals will be honored. You should not forget the enmities. They showed enmity towards us. You witnessed what Trump's and Obama's America did to you. Of course, their enmity is not confined to Trump, so much so that now that he is not there, we say that their enmity is over. This is not the case. Obama's US behaved in a nasty way towards you too. They were mean towards the Iranian nation. The same is true of the three European countries. These three European countries showed absolute disloyalty, and they showed their mean, two-faced, and hypocritical face to the Iranian nation. This is the second piece of advice.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want or need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor, grant me faith to be stronger.
The third piece of advice is that you should preserve national unity. Our country needs unity. The Iranian nation's unity. On many matters, the Iranian nation has a unanimous voice and a unanimous demand. However, officials can destroy this. It would be quite a feat on the part of our officials to shatter to pieces this unanimity and to destroy the nation. The officials of the country should do something to reinforce this unity.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.